Luke chapter 19. Very familiar, very, very familiar story. If you've been to church, you know this story. You've heard this story. You know this story. So Luke chapter 19, join me here in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give unto the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Dearly Father God, we come before you, God. And ask, Father, please, you bless in this time, God. Bless as I preach your word, Lord, that you fill me with your strength and your power. Lord, help us, meet with us here today, God. Change me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be more missions-focused, Lord. And help us all, Lord, as your people, to love others, to love you and to love others, God. Bless this time, Lord. Be with us now, God. Meet with us here this morning. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Uganda, I had this really amazing opportunity. There was a young man, former Muslim. I'll say former.
Yes, sir. Make sure it's on.
Yes, sir. Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's fine.
There you go.
Amen. It's not the first time. Won't be the last. Amen. Well, so I met this young man. His name's Iza. And he's a former Muslim, was a former Muslim man. And so it was amazing. I got to spend time with him. I got to pray with him. And I really got to just really grow close to him. And so one day he called Brother Brian. He was a national there, a local there. And he called him and asked if me and him would be willing to come and visit him. Now, I said, yes, of course, I'll go visit him. Not knowing actually where he lived. So me and Brother Brian, we jumped on his motorcycle. And we drove for about an hour into the African bush. And so we drive for about an hour, and I'm hanging on, you know, driving. And so we drive about an hour into the bush. And then the African grass, was just too thick and too tall. So we had to stop, leave the bike there by a tree, and we hiked for about another 45 minutes into the jungle. It was awesome. I loved it. There was monkeys on the trees. There was elephants in the distance. It was awesome. I loved the whole experience. It was amazing. And so we get to his house, and there he is, and he has so many questions. He has so many questions about God, if God and Allah were the same person. Of course they're not. And he has so many questions about life, and if God loved him, and if he was deserving of love. And so really, it was amazing. I got to spend 2 hours with him.
Amen.
And the thing that I loved the most about it was, I didn't just give him my thoughts, if I could say it that way. I didn't just give him my American thoughts on how he's supposed to live. I love the fact we got to sit down and I got to open scripture with him. I got to give him the word of God, and I love that fact. And so therefore, after 2 hours talking with him and getting him to understand that God loved him, despite who he was, despite his sins. And I told him, I'm like, Iza, I don't know you. I don't know what sins you've committed. And obviously, from how he was acting, he was broken up about his sins. He knew he was a sinner. I didn't have to convince him of that. He knew who he was. And so it was amazing. After 2 hours, I got to introduce him to God. And he got saved. And he got to call upon God as his Savior. And it was amazing. I was just so happy and glad I got to be part of that. Because here was a man that was so lost and broken because of his sins, if I could say it that way. And I could see that. And again, in Uganda, you have so much false doctrine. In Islam, there's no hope, if I could say it that way. And so here was this man living his life with no hope, no love. And then I got to introduce him, which is so amazing. I got to introduce him to a God
that loved him so much that he was willing to die for him. And he got saved, and it was amazing. The whole experience was just amazing. And so we're walking back to his house. we're walking to his house, and there was three imams, Muslim priests. They were there. And so we met in the middle of the road, and then they started talking in the local language. And it was really interesting. All in unison, all the imams just look at me. They just stare at me. And they have this mean look on their face. And they're just staring me down. And I'm like, what? What? No, I didn't do that. They're looking at me, and then they walk away. And I'm asking, I'm like, okay, what happened? What's going on? He said, these men knew that he was struggling with his faith, with his Islam faith. Well, he was struggling. And so they came to his house that day to try to bring him back, try to get him reestablished, if you could say that, back into Islam. And so it was amazing because he said this, and I love this, but God got there first.
Amen.
Because he was struggling. And then he was proud to tell them, God got there first. And it was amazing because there he is, and he's happy, he's different now, there's something different about him. And he wanted us to stay, and he wanted us to stay that night to talk to his family. He's like, let's go tell your family. Please, come with me. I want to go talk to my family. And it was late, and there's like lions and leopards out there. So we had to go back. And I'm going to be honest, it kind of breaks my heart because we talk, we text, we do the WhatsApp, and we talk and we communicate. And he just got baptized recently. And then his girlfriend actually just got saved. And then so they've been separated, so now they actually want to get married the proper way. And I really, really want to be there for that. But it's amazing because here you have this man who is so broken up about his sin. Again, living in a world where there was no hope. If I could say it that way. A man that didn't know the love of God. A man that was struggling, that was broken up with his sins and didn't know the love of God. And then I was so thankful. I even had the opportunity to introduce him to a God that loved him. Now join with me. Look at this first part in Luke chapter 19. We all know this story. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, it's funny. I want to make mention of this. As we all know, and I think most of us would agree, Jesus doesn't do anything by accident. He's God Almighty. So he didn't just happen to be in Jericho. He didn't just stumble upon it. No, he knew where he was going, if I could say it that way. He knew who was in Jericho. He knew where he was going. It wasn't by accident. Stay with me. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, we all know this story. A wee little man and a wee little man was he. We know this story. Here's Zacchaeus was, a chief among the publicans. Now, if you can imagine with me for a second, here you have Zacchaeus collecting money for the Roman government, on behalf of the Roman government, from his own people. So if you can imagine it, the Jewish people already don't like the Roman oppression. They don't like the Romans taking their money. And so on top of that, here you have this, I'm short, so I'm going to pick on Zacchaeus, all right? Here you have this greedy little man taking money from them, his own people, on behalf of the Roman government. So already people don't like him because of that. I mean, he's being the IRS at this time. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants this to happen. So here he is, Zacchaeus. On behalf of the Roman government, he's taking money from the people, and then he's giving it to the Roman government, and on top of that, he's stealing from the people. He's taxing them more than they're supposed to be taxed. Now get this, he's doing that because he's greedy. He's doing that because, look at the verse, he is rich, meaning he was really good at scamming people like that. He was really good at stealing from people. He stole from your dog, your grandma, he stole from everybody. That's how he became rich. And here's the thing, everybody knew it. Everybody knew that he was a thief, that he was a liar, that he was a cheat. Nobody liked him. So already he has, on top of the Romans, nobody likes the Romans. And on top of that, he's stealing from his own people. And on top of that, he's a thief, a known thief, stealing from everybody. And nobody likes him because of that. Now look at these verses. Look at these next verses. Look at these next part. Verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. So Jesus, again, going through Jericho. Zacchaeus hears about what Jesus is doing. Hears about Jesus' ministry. And of course, he wants to see what's going on. Now, I can imagine that when Zacchaeus runs down to the crowd, he wants to see Jesus. He wants to participate. He wants to see what is going on. So he runs down to the crowd. And maybe the crowd, because they know it's Zacchaeus, maybe they don't let him see Jesus. Maybe they're like, nah, beat it, short guy. Maybe the crowd won't let see Jesus. But whatever case, get this, he wanted to see Jesus. Again, yeah, he was a sinner. He was a bad person. And everybody knew it. But he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see what was going on. And so he goes to the crowd. And again, I can imagine him trying to jump over, trying to do something to see Jesus. But the crowd won't let him. Now, like, stay with me. Stay with me. Verse 4. I find this so funny. Verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, it has been, I want to say, 12 years since I have climbed a tree. To be perfectly honest, if a cat got stuck in a tree, I would either shoot it or pray for it. I'm not going to climb a tree. I have too much pride. So if you can imagine me for a second, here was Zacchaeus. Here's the crowd in front of Jesus. Again, Jesus is performing miracles, preaching. Jesus is right in the middle of ministry, preaching, doing what he's doing. And the crowd is surrounding him. And Zacchaeus really wants to see Jesus. He really wants to see what is going on, and he can't. And so what is a logical conclusion to do when you really want to see Jesus? Oh, hey, there's a tree. So he gets up in a tree. Now, this must have been a funny sight. This must have been funny to see this little man climb up into a tree. But the fact was, again, he really wanted to see what was going on. He wanted to see Jesus. So he climbs up into a tree to see what is going on. Now, look at these verses. I love these next verses. Look at this. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Look at this. And Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, when you read this, you have to read it with a really amazement, because there was Zacchaeus. He desperately wanted to see Jesus. He desperately wanted to see what was going on. So again, the logical conclusion from not being able to see from the crowd, he climbs up into a tree to just see what was going on. Again, he just wanted to be part of it. He just wanted to hear what was going on. And then I love this, because Jesus, being so loving, being so amazing, he notices Zacchaeus. He doesn't just notice him. Get this. He calls him out by his name. He calls him out by his name. He doesn't say, hey, short guy, what are you doing up there? No. He says, Zacchaeus. Like he knows him or something. You know what I'm saying? So he sees him up in a tree, calls him by his name. Now, on top of that, he says, Zacchaeus, come down, make haste, come down, because I want to go to your house today. So if you can imagine with me for a second how Zacchaeus must have felt. He was up here. He just wanted to see what was going on. He just wanted to see what was taking place. He just wanted to hear Jesus, and then Jesus calls him out by his name. And then Jesus says, I want to go to your house today. So if you can imagine me for a second how Zacchaeus must have felt. Me? You want to come to my house? Is there another Zacchaeus? You want to come to my house? And let's look at these next verses right here. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. So he ran down that tree. He came down that tree and received him joyfully. Now look at verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. So when you read those verses, you have to read it with hostility. You have to read it with anger. You have to read it with bitterness, if I could say it that way. Because the crowd is seeing what is taking place. The crowd sees that Jesus just called Zacchaeus. What? Jesus, Jesus calls Zacchaeus? And so Zacchaeus runs. And so if you can imagine, the crowd begins to murmur. They begin to talk. Doesn't Jesus know that that's Zacchaeus? Doesn't Jesus know that Zacchaeus is a sinner? Doesn't Jesus know that that's Zacchaeus, the guy that lies and cheats? He's a little sinner. He steals from everyone. Doesn't Jesus know that he's a sinner? Doesn't Jesus know? Get this. You have to read that with hate. You have to read that with bitterness. There's been times in my life where I've had, unfortunately, family members, friends, they're like, really, you're a Christian? How long is that going to last? And so I can see Zacchaeus here. Jesus wants to go to his house? That's Zacchaeus. If you were to take a poll of the most hated people in Jericho, Zacchaeus was number one. If Zacchaeus would have sent you a friend request, you would have ignored it. Nobody wanted to be his friend. Nobody liked him. He was a sinner. Nobody liked him. And then Jesus, in his being so good, calls him out by his name. And on top of that, he goes to his house. And it's interesting because he comes down in haste and he receives Jesus joyfully. Now again, from this account, we know that Zacchaeus got saved. We know that. Now look at these next verses with me. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. So if you can imagine with me for a second, here Zacchaeus was. He runs. He makes haste. He receives Jesus Christ joyfully. He receives him joyfully. And then he makes this statement. He makes this public statement. Jesus, the half of my goods, I'm going to give it to the poor. Then he also says, if I've stolen from anyone, I'm going to give it back to them fourfold. So you can imagine, this was crazy. Again, that is Zacchaeus, a greedy little man who stole from people. Again, his whole life was about money. His whole life was about goods and taking from people. That's what he was about. He stole from people. He was known for doing that. And here he was, after receiving Jesus Christ joyfully, he makes a statement, Jesus, the half of my goods, I'm going to give it to the poor. And on top of that, if I've stolen from anyone, I'm going to give it back to them fourfold. This was huge. Come on, you guys, stay with me. This is huge. This is big. Because, again, Zacchaeus would never give his money away. He would never help anyone. I can imagine maybe people came to Zacchaeus and were asking for help. Zacchaeus, please, don't tax us so much. We need this money. And I can see Zacchaeus in his anger and his greediness saying, no, give me the money. I need that money. And then here he was publicly stating, no, the half of my goods, I'm going to give it to the poor. And on top of that, if I've stolen from anyone, I'm going to give it to them fourfold. So there was a huge change in his life. Now look at these next two verses. And Jesus said unto him, verse 9, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. He got saved. Look at verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This whole story is, I find this very interesting. Because again, nobody liked Zacchaeus. He was a sinner. Nobody liked him. He knew he was a sinner. The people knew he was a sinner. And nobody liked him. If I could say it this way, nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted him. And then Zacchaeus hears about Jesus. He just wants to see Jesus. And then Jesus, in his love, calls him out by his name, goes to his house, and then receives him joyfully. He gets saved. He has a change of heart, really a change. And I can just imagine Zacchaeus there at his house. And he's there getting things ready. And I see our Lord and Savior looking at Zacchaeus. And he's saying, yes, salvation came to this house, meaning he got saved. And then Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. I see Zacchaeus maybe trying to get things ready, maybe trying to get the household ready. And then I see our Lord and Savior saying, this is why I came. Stay with me for a second. Zacchaeus was a sinner. Zacchaeus was bad. And then Jesus, in his love, after he got saved, after Zacchaeus got saved, I could see our Savior looking at Zacchaeus, looking at his life, and saying, this is why I came here. Stay with me for a second. They beat our Savior. They beat our God. They put nails in our Savior's hand. They mocked our God on the cross. They spit upon him. They rejected him. They betrayed him. They did that to our God. But he did that for us. He did that for Zacchaeus. So if you could imagine with me for a second, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus wasn't talking about the present time. No, he was talking about all eternity. See, really, when you look at verse 10, he's revealing this amazing truth to us. He's revealing this amazing truth to us. Jesus, why are you letting them spit upon you? Jesus, why are you letting them beat you? Think with this me for a second. Let's be real for a second. They spit upon our God. They laughed and mocked our God. And there he was on the cross. I can imagine for a second. They're on the cross. Jesus, why? Why are you letting them do this to you? You're God. You can come down at any minute. You can stop this at any minute. God, why are you letting them do this to you? And then I see our Savior in his love and his mercy and his grace saying, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus needed saving. Nobody was going to save him. Nobody wanted him. He was lost and in sin, and nobody wanted him. He knew he was a sinner. The people knew he was a sinner. Nobody wanted him. But I love this, except God. That's why he was willing. Again, Jesus doesn't do things on accident. He knew who was in Jericho. He knew who was in Jericho. Yet he still went that way, called him out by his name, and saved him. And saved him. Christian, this is an amazing truth to us. This is an amazing truth. Verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is revealing to us this whole purpose. Jesus is revealing to us a truth, amazing, amazing, amazing truth. I was a sinner. I deserved hell. But then God in his love sent a missionary to come to my part of the reservation, share the gospel with me, a little kid that was a sinner, that was bad. And then God in his love, for the Son of Man came to seek, he sought me and he saved me. Christian, verse 10 is amazing truth. We need to read it with the power that it has. Because there Zacchaeus was. He was lost. He was dying and going to hell. But then God stepped in and saved him. God got in there and saved him. Now it's sad. It's sad when Christians, stay with me, forget that fact. Stay with me for a second. It is wrong. It is terrible. Our God was willing to leave heaven to come to earth, this sin-cursed earth. Knowing, get this, he's God, knowing that they were going to laugh at him, knowing that they were going to mock him, knowing that they were going to reject him, knowing that they were going to spit in his face and beat his head, knowing all of that, still left heaven to come to earth to seek and to save the lost. And how terrible and how wicked and how wrong it is. His people, the people, get this, that are saved, that are Christians, forget that fact. And we forget that fact. How wrong is it? Because our God, our Savior, was willing to leave heaven to come to earth for me. And how horrible and wicked would it be for me to just live my life, not act like that isn't important to me, just work, just get money, just think about material things, popularity, all forgetting all about what he did for me, forgetting all about what he sacrificed, what he went through for me. How horrible and wrong that is. And I'm going to call it what it is. That's wrong. That's sin, what it is. Because as his people, you know what we should be doing? We should be so excited and happy about this amazing truth that he's come to seek and to save sinners. Get this. He has come to seek and to save sinners. Amen. People that nobody wants. People that the world laughs at. Nobody wants. He came here for them. He came here for all of us. And so it should be us as Christians being excited about this truth, being overwhelmed with the truth, being so excited about this truth that we're willing to go and tell our neighbors. We're willing to go and tell our friends. We're willing to even go to school, even when they're going to mock at us and yell at us and be mean to us. We're still going to be excited about this amazing truth that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We should be so consumed with this amazing truth that it leads us, stay with me, it leads us to tell the people. Amen. It leads us to do that. Again, I had this amazing privilege. I had this awesome privilege. I got to get on a bike. We got to travel an hour and 45 minutes into the jungle. There was monkeys. There was elephants. I got bit by so many mosquitoes. And I loved it. And I got to take this man who didn't know the love, who didn't know peace. And I got to introduce him to God. I got to share with him that God loved him and died for him. Now, how horrible and wicked if I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. But Christians, we do that still. We're all guilty of that. That's wrong because our Savior, they're on the cross. They're on the cross. Jesus, why don't you come down? Jesus, why don't you come down? And I can see our Jesus. Alex needs to be saved. Cassandra needs to be saved. The people of Uganda need to be saved. Get this, we deserve hell. That is a fact. We deserve hell. But God in his love died for us so that we could escape that punishment. And as Christians, how horrible and wicked if we've received that salvation, if we've received that, and we're not willing to share it with others, how terrible and wicked is it? If we're not willing to give to tithing, we're not willing to give to missions, we're not willing to pray, stay with me for a second. Stay with me for a second. How horrible and wicked is when the pastor is seeking help for something, and we're like, no, I'll just push it off. And pastor's asking, please, someone, let's go door knocking, let's go visitation. And we're saying, no, I have to go and spend time with my friends. I have to do this. I have to do other things. What if Jesus said that to us? Think about that for a second. Church, I'm a guest. I don't know anything here. But I can say, as a human, I'm guilty of this too. We're so easy. Again, we accept the blessings. Yes, give me that blessing. Give me that salvation. But yet, when it comes for our opportunity to share that same love with others, again, we're guilty of not sharing that sometimes. We're guilty of not giving towards missions, giving towards our offering, giving to see the gospel go around the world. In Congo, there's 84 million people. 84 million people in Congo. And to my knowledge, there's only one independent Baptist preaching gospel church. There's 84 million people there. Lord willing, after we get established in Uganda, I want to go to Congo. I really do. And yes, it is Congo. Scary. It is very scary. But that's not the point, though. There's people that are dying and going to hell there. It's interesting because there's other people that I got to lead to the Lord. And with Isa, it was amazing because I had this amazing opportunity to share with him that God loved him. And when the world wanted to get at him, God got there first. God got there first. Christian, in your lives, in your families, your school, your work, everything that you're involved with, there's people that do not know Jesus as their Savior. There's people that don't know the love of God, and they're depending on you to share that. Think of that for a second. If you know God, and if God saved you, and you're not willing to share the gospel, that same love with other people, again, how wicked and terrible that is. Let's just call it what it is. It's sin. Dearly Father God, we come before you, Lord. I ask you, God, please, that you'd help us, God, this morning. As your people, God, that you would help us, Lord. That you'd help us, God, to do what we're supposed to do, God. To love others, God. In your scripture, you showed us that you love Zacchaeus. Knowing that he was a sinner. Knowing that he deserved punishment. Knowing that he deserved hell. You still loved him. You came for him, God. And you came for us, God. Help us, God, as your people. As Christians, God. Help us as your people to love others, God. To the point we're willing to go through a bit of embarrassment, a bit of ridicule. Help us, God, as your people, to be willing to share your love with others, God. Forgive us, God, where we failed you, Lord. Help us, God. Be with us now, God. We love you, and we thank you again for being so good to us, God. Bless this invitation time. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray.